are very aware of the word that you are giving us in this assembly, your word. And Lord, also the responsibility that goes with receiving such light and revelation. Lord, we ask for your grace to accompany what you are giving us. Because, Father, we are very aware that in the natural, in the flesh, we cannot live and walk this standard. It is way, way, way beyond man's capabilities or comprehension. But Lord, you have sent the Holy Spirit to move alongside, to work this miracle in our lives, to conform us to your will, to put that affection for your ways and your commandments, to put the revelation in our hearts to understand your word. And so, Lord, we simply make ourselves available. We yield over to you, Lord, and just allow the Holy Spirit to work, that completed work. And Father, I ask that each mind and heart may be captivated by your presence, and that, Lord, you will continue to do that great work of deliverance, that great cleansing of sin and unbelief that, Father, clutters us, that tries to take us over, engulfs us, Lord. Father, we're here again today by the mercy of God, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Praise you, Lord.
Jesus' name. Well, I want to again address for the next maybe few weeks as the Lord leads on faith. We don't go long in our walk with whatever God's revealing, showing us when he brings us back to faith, what we once were given and were delivered. And this morning, our title for this is Faith is the Nature of God. Faith is the nature of God. Maybe some of you have never thought of that in that light and context, but we're going to open this, and I believe the Lord will enlighten to us what he means by this. And we're going to base it from something very familiar, which we know well, in Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 2. Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 2, which tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, very often we give much teaching about the first verse, so I'm not going to go into detail about that. But sometimes we find that verses 2 and 3 can get a little bit clouded, because we like to know what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. And the evidence is what you hold in your hands. That is the revelation of God's will. So as you read the word of God and as you take it in, that is the will of God. That is the substance. That's the actual reality. Your faith is real, and what it embraces, confesses, holds on, is real. It just has to be visibly manifested in God's right time and way. So we know a lot of that. And of course, the evidence of those things, well, there is the evidence. Your confession, your belief, your walking with God is also the evidence as you believe upon God's word and his promises. And then, of course, he goes on in verse 2, and by this faith the substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen. Therefore, elders, Christians, believers who have walked right through the ages, it says, have obtained or received a good testimony. In other words, their lives, their confession, their belief, their holding on is the testimony of verse 1. This is a testimony, if you like, of our faith. That here we are today, gathered together in his name, in his presence. That is our faith. That is our belief. We're enduring, carrying on through all trials, through all tests. And that is where you obtain a good testimony. And by that, testimony, by our faith, by the fact that we are gathered together, here we are congregated in the presence of God. He then goes on to say in verse 3, and by this faith, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the very world, the very existence, the very ground that you stand on is by that word of faith. Notice in those three verses, the whole context of it is all there. And so the very world that was created was framed and formed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And that is why we always say to you that the invisible is more visible to the overcomer. That which you can't see is reality, is real, is eternal. That will never fade away. What you see, what you hear, what you touch, what is around you is going to fade away. It will eventually be burned up. But that which you cannot see is eternal and can never pass away. And that is what the worlds were framed by, made. That is what your faith stands by. That is why you do not need the evidence. That is why you do not need to run around from meeting to meeting trying to get some evidence about your faith. Because it doesn't work that way. It works by what God has promised in his word. If he has promised it, he cannot lie. Amen. Now, what God is doing with you and me is he's working with you and I to get us to that place of embracing it, settling it, believing it, and then experiencing it. The reason that there are delays still in your faith is because God is removing that unbelief. And let's just face it, unbelief is sin. And sin has to be dealt with. And it's by the grace and mercy of God. It's called the blood of Jesus. But for the proud, for the religious, that isn't good news. And I tell you why. Because their pride thinks that they should have it by now. Their pride says, oh, I'm walking well with God. I'm a man or I'm a woman of faith. And that, of course, is why the scribes, Pharisees were offended. Because what Jesus was actually trying to do was expose that unbelief in them. But they would not have it. The same with the children of Israel. They wouldn't have it by the fact that through their trials, unbelief was being exposed. But they could never acknowledge it. They couldn't be honest. Now, the closer you get with God, and the nearer we get to the day of us being raptured, the more is going to be exposed in us. And that's why it appears, and I notice the word I said, appears, as though you're further away from this than you were 10 years ago. Does it seem like that in the flesh? It does to me. It seems like I was believing. I seem to see things happen. I didn't have a problem with the promises of God. Here I am 10 years down the line, and it seems to have got worse. What's going on? Nothing's going on. God's got it under control. I tell you, that's a good sign. If it's getting worse, that's a good sign in your life. You're getting nearer. And the devil knows it. And he's trying to get more subtle, isn't he? So faith is the word of God. And it's the divine flow of the inward work of the Holy Spirit. That's why I've called faith is the nature of God. Because faith is the word of God. It is, as we've just read. And it's the divine flow of the inward work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to present faith. That is why I'm a great believer. You cannot be saved unless faith is present. There's a theory or a teaching around today. You have to get saved first and then faith comes. Doesn't. God had to bring faith to you. God had to move in your life first. He had to get your attention, my attention.
You had to start having your ears attuned to the word of God to bring about that miracle of the new birth, salvation. And so it is an inward work of the Holy Spirit bringing that faith to you and I. You see, this inward flow moves every fibre of our being. That is how powerful faith is. Hebrews 4 verse 12. We know this again very well, but here it is. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God. And we're told that the word of God, faith, comes by hearing that word. And it goes on, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So we are going to give account. And much of that account, I believe, is, and Jesus gave it in his ministry when he was alive, why didn't you believe? That's what he challenges us with. That's what he challenges us now. That is what he challenged when he was on the earth. And he's still saying it. And he's saying it today. And he's saying it right now. Why is it that some of you still don't really believe? After 20 years. And it goes on. But he says, the promise is that this word, because faith comes by the word, hearing this word, it is living and powerful. I already said to you that the faith is the nature of God. Faith is the word of God. It's a divine flow of the inward work of the Holy Spirit. It is living. God is living. And so he says the word of God is living. It is powerful. There's that Greek word dunamis, explosive. And he says it's sharper than any sword you could imagine, as to how sharp you think it is. He says that is nothing in comparison to this word, my word, as to how sharp it is. It has to be sharp. Why? Because it's piercing and it's dividing, it's working in the soul of man. It doesn't say it's working in the spirit of man. It's working in the soul. Now, of course, we know that man cannot be divided. He's a complete trichotomy. Body, soul, spirit. But he says the sword, the word, works in the soul. And the soul is also connected with the flesh. It is in that realm, that region of man, where sin, spirits, can still try to feed off man. He cannot touch the spirit, that is the new birth. That's holy, that's divine. But he can try and attack the soul area, the flesh, the soul. And so God works on the soul, the character. He says he's working on you. That is why you're also being saved. You are coming out from. You are being changed. He's working on your character, the soul. What does it simply mean is? He's working to close those doors to sin, unbelief. And he does it by this word, the word of God. Now, if you've really been listening with your whole heart today, you are going to go away from this meeting with more doors closed when they were open before. Amen? And you, how do you know that? How do you appropriate that? Because you believe it. You believe the inflowing of the Spirit of God, bringing that faith, quickening that faith. My faith says yes. Why do I say yes? Because Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And it is possible that more doors will be closed in my life today than they were when I came in. For me to overcome. It's according to your faith. It's according to what you want. And so he says, this sword, this two-edged sword, is piercing even the divides of the soul, not only that, and spirit, joints and marrow. So it's dealing with the spiritual side of man, which I've already been talking about. And it is so powerful. Notice in the context he gets, he starts first in the inner man, the soul, the spirit. He doesn't stop there. He then says, and joints and marrow. He then moves on to the physical, the body. Why? Because you are to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2. But God knows you can't do that. God knows he can't glorify his name through your body unless the inner man is worked on first. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. Because in so many assemblies, they want it round the other way. I want my body healed first. And after you've healed my body and delivered me and set me free from sin, then I'll let you work on my heart. Sorry. That's not the way God works. It's not the way he works. And he says, of joints and marrow. And he says he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that is what he does. He has to work on your heart because he knows, so that he exposes it, brings it up to the fore so that you can see it. And then your will is there to will over for him to work. You see, because God never goes against the will of man, therefore he has to divide, cut asunder, to expose what is in you, and then he works with you to bring you to that place where you're willing. Because I'm going to tell you something, when God starts to hone in and expose, you ain't willing. You can say you are, you can even sing it in the choruses, you can even say amen, but you ain't willing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's got to start working. He's got to start getting the word into you. He's got to start working you in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. He knows how stubborn man is. He knows the unbelief that's there. He knows that you can't change and you're not about to change. You enjoy sin too much. You enjoy the creature comforts too much. You enjoy, you know, ministering to the flesh. And so as he works with the cross, and as you keep with it, and then the trials come, and you listen to the word, and he's working in your faith, and he's circumcising the heart, so he gradually brings it up to the surface in that right time of way, and he does it so lovingly, so gently, so mercifully, so that as he begins to bring it out, so yes, there's a wrestling going on, yes, there's the crying, yes, there's the tears, yes, you don't love me, Father, yes, we go away and sulk in the corner, but eventually when we get over those things, he's still there lovingly working away, and in the end you crumple, and you say, just deliver me, Lord, get rid of it. It's a curse to my flesh. And he's done the work. And then you look back and you think, how did I change? How did I have, eventually, the will and the affection to change and to get rid of this? Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what he's come for, to baptize you, to do that very work. And that is why I'm telling you that faith is the nature of God. Faith is the key every time for change. Do you want to see something change in your life? Are you fed up? Are you going through whatever you're going through? Well, of course you are. Faith is the key. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because I'm going to present this how God has presented it to me. Some of us have got a little bit fed up with faith, or the faith message. Some of us are saying in our hearts, I don't want to hear another faith message. Because what we're frightened to actually acknowledge, see, this is where we're not very honest, it doesn't really work. Been in this 20 years, and I don't really think I've got anything to show that this faith message works. And that is why God wants to address this morning. because some have been thinking along those lines. It's very subtle. The devil knows exactly how to do it. He knows how to take our eyes away, away really from the Word, away from Jesus, look into those circumstances, look into self, poor me, look what I'm going through, and so on. He knows exactly how to do it. And the first thing he will do when he begins to work that way, he will get you to question the faith. Question God's faithfulness, his promises. And that is why we need to address this morning. Because faith is the nature of God. Now you have to rest to the fact that until the Lord comes to take us, we are going to still be challenged with the faith teaching, the faith message, call it whatever you like. It is still going to be there. It is still going to be paramount. Why? Because that is the way the wise virgins make it into the kingdom of God. Because we're to live totally by faith. You see, God so works with our natures that we will believe in the end. And I believe that. I've settled that. I've said, Lord, you're going to so work with me that you're going to get me to a place that I will believe. And I believe that. And the reason I believe that is because you're God. Because there's nobody else who can do that. And if you say what you say you are, and I believe that, then you are well able to get me to that place where I can believe and I can walk totally by faith. Amen. Settle it. And God will begin to do it. Maybe some of us have never actually thought that. Maybe some of us need to actually confess that and say that before God. That God will get me to that place that I will walk totally by faith, because that is the way I wish to walk, to glorify him. Now if we hear ourselves saying that, how much more does God want this? Because we are to live totally by faith. The question is, can God do it? Can God work in you and me that we can walk totally by faith? You have to decide that. You haven't got to go by feelings. You haven't got to go by the fact how you've walked up to now. Maybe your life has been a disaster. Maybe you've got very little to show for it. But the fact is, can God get me to the place where I can walk totally by faith, that I don't any longer have to trust in the arm of the flesh, looking to man, looking for answers, looking for support, looking for help? Can God accomplish and do this in my life? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. That's between you and God. But you'll hear it in the message. You'll hear it in the teaching. You'll hear it come through. Now, as I said, if you look to your circumstances, then it's an absolute failure. You might as well give up and go back. But with God, all things are possible. You see, faith is a personal knowledge and experience of God's divine presence within you, changing you. Now, that is another aspect to faith, is the nature of God. You will know if you're in faith, because the faith you have, the gift of faith, that faith put today, something is telling you, faith is telling you, that the very presence, the very nature of God is changing you, is working with you, is working in every part of your life and being and fibre. That is the sign of God, faith in my life. Am I changing? Am I seeing a difference? Now, you may not see it straight away, but if you look back, say, over the last 5 years, then there should be a change. Because that is the nature of God. Faith is the nature of God, and his nature is to change you. And that changing that is taking place is a sign of faith in your life, in your heart. You know, sometimes we tend to think, well, I'll only know if I've got faith because I've got to act it. Yes, there is acting faith. We also know there's a confessing faith. There's a believing faith. There's an enduring faith. There's a happy faith. I mean, there's so many aspects to faith. But there's also this aspect to faith. Am I seeing faith changing me in the inner man? Do I know God is at work in my life? Is he working away in the areas of unbelief, sin, and so on? That is clear signs, is it not? Therefore, we should take encouragement in that and not be all down and forlorn and depressed, because God is in my life working. That is his divine presence. He's changing me. Was it saying 2 Corinthians 3:18? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed or changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it says here, but we all, with unveiled face, so notice that Paul is speaking to the whole congregation of the church. He's not just picking out one or two individuals. He says, this is the work of the Spirit in you, in the church. Like as a mirror, the glory of the Lord. So it speaks of the glory of God, his glory. He glorifies his name. Are being transformed into the same image. That same glory that was in Christ, glorifying the Father. The same glory that's in the church is the same glory that's in your life. He says, being transformed, changed into the same image from glory to glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's done by the Spirit of the Lord. The very glory that was in Christ is the same glory that's in the church, and the same glory that's working in you, transforming you, changing you. This Greek word, metamorphosis, to change. How is that done? Faith is the nature of God. It is the divine inward working by faith of God changing you. Now, you can hear that theologically, or you can hear that by faith, and you can get really excited. And you can really rise up in the faith, which glorifies the Lord, that this is God changing me. I am being changed. And that is the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is, I am being changed by Almighty God, being conformed into his image. Not my works, my efforts, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. He is changing me, and it's appropriated by the fact I choose to simply believe. And that's why you only need the faith of a child, faith of a mustard seed. It's all that's needed. And God says, I'll do the rest. I'll bring it to you. Yes, Lord, but you know I need healing. You know I need those finances. You know I'm believing for my rebellious son and everything. God says, stop, stop, stop. I'll bring it to you. You're trying to do that now in the flesh. I'll bring it to you when the right time is for your son to come through. I'll quicken your faith in that right time. And you know. You know when something is coming, when it's manifesting, because the faith is there. The confession is there. The excitement begins to build up. The expectation. Because God is bringing you to that place. It's coming into its manifestation. You hear your confession, your prayer life. Everything begins to change, doesn't it? You know, there are things that you believe for. You confess, you've settled it. You know, and it doesn't come up. Probably you've said it years ago. And then suddenly, things begin to change. Hang on. I'm finding myself now beginning to thank the Lord. Thanking God for this new job. or thanking God for the salvation of my family. Something's beginning to happen, and so your prayers, it starts to come more in your prayers. It starts to come more in praising and thanking God. Why? Because the manifestation's on the way. God says, I bring it to you. Just settle it. Settle the promises. But the promises to be manifested come in the right time and way. You can't have them all at once. You won't be able to contain it. Yes, they may take years sometimes. It may seem as though nothing's happened. The whole thing looks dead. But you see, the root of faith is under the ground, isn't it? That's the whole point. And you don't see that. The roots are still very alive. You just got to wait for the right season when the shoots start to pop up out of the ground. That's the point. Remember this. God never forgets. He remembers everything. And you do not need to remind him of what you confessed, what you believed for 10 years ago. You don't need to remind him. You just need to continue praising and thanking him that it's there and God's got a right time. Because the Holy Spirit in me, God in me, he's going to bring that through at the right time and the right way. Do we still believe Mark 9:23? Already touched on it. Mark 9:23. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. That's what he says. Jesus said, Jesus uses the word if there, if you can believe. And he uses it in that sense because he's putting the challenge over to you. As far as he's saying, I believe because I'm the Word. I've made all the promises. I've got no problem. What he's saying is, the trouble is, do you believe? Because I've made the promises to you. The question is, do you believe? Do you want to believe? And you know something? I think that's something that maybe some of us need to have to actually be honest. I think sometimes we don't actually want to believe. And the reason being is because we think it excuses us. It somehow lets us off the hook. Because of my circumstances, because of my background, or what I went through, or whatever it is. So, you know, we can almost subconsciously use it as an excuse. But you see, God won't have that. Because God says, I have given you those promises. I'm asking you now whether you choose, whether you want to believe or not. That's the question. That is the question. Because that's exactly what Jesus would say if he was in the flesh right now. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying it to us. So we don't need to have Jesus visibly come and stand here next to me to have to just continue to repeat what I have said to you by the Spirit. That is the point. We use that word victory, don't we? Would you know that victory is our faith? Victory is on our lips and in our hearts. What are we saying there? We're saying faith is in my heart, on my lips. Because faith is victory. It has to be. Faith, if it's present, can never return to God without giving him the glory. That is the whole point. Because faith knows no defeat. Faith knows no defeat. You again settle that. Whatever is happening in your life, whatever God is working on, in your family, your job, you name it, whatever it is, there's no defeat. It might look as though I'm defeated, but then that's what faith is about, isn't it? We're always standing on the brink of disaster. Faith is standing right on the edge, ready to fall in the precipice, isn't it? My whole life is like that. My whole life is like walking on a tightrope. That's my whole life. But then that tells me I walk by faith. And if I walk by faith, that tells me I have the victory. And my faith and victory says, you know, although I'm walking on a tight walk, I look as though I'm ready to fall in the precipice, but the fact is I haven't. That's the point. And so, victory is our faith, because faith knows no defeat. You may be put down for a season, but you'll come up again. And the reason you come up again is because that's the power of God that raised Christ from the dead is raising you up as well. That's why you come up. And this is why faith, as I'm saying, is the nature of God. Because when faith is present, so is God. Do you know that? That is why it's so powerful. That is why faith in a meeting tells me that God is present also. Because it's his nature. It's his nature. And that's why when we believe, God is there. And he said it only takes two or three in my name to be there present. There am I in the midst of you. It brings the love and the personality of Jesus to us. That's what faith does. It's bringing us his love, his personality. It's bringing Jesus to us. It gives divine ability, authority, when faith is present. So that ability there, that authority there, the whole lot is there because the presence of God is there. Do we believe it? Well, our lives, our body language, what comes out of our mouth, how we are in the meeting, that will tell us whether we believe the presence of God by faith is there or not. Because if we believe, it comes out. It comes out in our worship. It comes out in our praise. It comes out in our body language. The trouble is, we're offended because we think after 20 years, 25 years, and all what I've done and my ability in the Word of God, I should be a bit closer than what I am now. That's the pride. But God's removing that. God is removing that. And you know something? Even where we do get offended on those things, God still uses them. He's not blind. He's not blind. He knows our labour. He knows the sacrifice. He knows that this walk can never be done, achieved in the natural. So God never throws it all out. He uses everything. He uses everything for his glory. But it gives us that divine ability in his presence. You see, it's Christ manifest in our mortal flesh. That is why faith is so powerful. I've said to you, faith is the nature of God, and when we believe what it is doing, it is Christ manifesting in our mortal bodies, our flesh. And that is why healing, deliverance will accompany. Because it is God manifesting in the flesh. And God is so holy, God, there's no sickness, disease, sin, bondage in God. So when our faith is present, when faith is present in a meeting, that is God manifesting through us in our bodies. So any sin, any sickness that's in the way of him coming through, he says, right, I get that out of the way. That's an offence before me. And that's where the healing, deliverance comes. So when we see the healings and deliverances, they are signs of God manifesting in the people. And what is of sin, he's removing because of his manifestation. Amen?
Amen.
It's true. Now I say it again. If I had a load of spiritists here this morning, they'd get pretty excited what I've just said about that, other than the fact that we're talking about the Holy Spirit. But as far as being possessed, being manifesting the Spirit, that familiar Spirit, that Spirit guide they have, they will be on fire. And here we are talking about the Holy Spirit. And Christians sort of look, what's he talking about? You know, possession, taken over, God manifesting in our flesh. God, is it possible God could manifest in me? You know, with my life, what I'm going through? Yes. Why? Because you're born again. And the spirit side of you cannot be touched. That's renewed. That's made new. All you're just battling with is the soulish side, the flesh. And God says, well, I can deal with that. That's no problem. The trouble is, it's too big a problem to you. And you need to start believing. And that is why God presents the cross. Do you know the cross? As God has shown me, if you take up that cross daily and follow him, the cross actually helps us to believe by faith. The cross is for us to believe. Did you know that? It's not the other way around. We've so often thought we've got to be in faith to take up the cross. Well, we have to be in faith, of course. We have to be in faith to the sense that we know the cross will do its work. But actually, it's the other way around. The cross is to quicken our faith, because it deals with self, the flesh, that hinders the manifestation of God manifesting through the flesh. That's the point. So there we are. Faith is the nature of God. Faith is the word of God, and it's that divine flow of the inward work of the Holy Spirit moving in and through you and me. So there's no excuse that you can't believe. There's no excuse that we can turn to our background or what I've come through. You know how hard it is for me to believe, Lord, and so forth. No excuse. Why? Because it is the work of God working through you, both to will and do for his good pleasure. He has put that faith there. It is a gift, and he's working it. Why is he working it? Because God desires to manifest himself amongst his people. If God doesn't manifest himself amongst his people, then how can you glorify him? Because God knows man won't glorify him otherwise. You try and go out into the world there and say, by the way, would you like to glorify God? You know, look at you. Where are you coming from? Oh, they don't mind glorifying their pop idols or sport hero or whatever it is. They have no problem there. No, God knows it isn't in us to glorify him. So he has to bring faith. And faith in your heart, my heart, manifests the presence of God. And when he's manifest, then you will see healing, deliverance, salvation. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, sometimes we can do a complete circle, only finding that we come back to the beginning. But Lord, that circle, that journey that we've taken, is not totally in vain, because you work everything, you use everything. But Lord, we have to come back. We have to come back and embrace the basics. We have to come back and embrace it, because this is where you are glorified. This is where you are seen. This is where you are manifested, in a faith that just simply believes, embraces those promises. You've said it, good enough. We're not searching around, going from church to church, trying to find the evidence to what you've already promised and given. But Father, we thank you that our faith is the victory, and we have that victory. And Lord, we stand upon a victorious foundation. And so Lord, I pray the reality of this word may permeate deep in our hearts. And where there's been unbelief or just hardness of heart, Lord, you will change that. You'll bring us back to that simple childlike faith, just believing, just staying with it, holding on, because our day, our moment will come, not because of us, but because of your glory. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. I thank you for this meeting. I thank you for bringing us together in unity and in fellowship and in oneness. And Lord, I pray your presence will be upon us this day and always, because we ask this in Jesus' name.